It's December 31, the last day of 2006. We're about to leave behind the old year and move ahead into the new year. And at these transition points, there seems to be something very natural about taking time for some reflection, evaluation, and goal setting. In the past few days, it's been very evident in the media. Everywhere you look, it's been the year in review, the best and worst of 2006, what to look for in 2007, and other similar kinds of articles and stories. It's common on the personal level as well. I was thinking that the annual Christmas letters that so many of us send out every year to friends and family are kind of like our own year in review, with comments suggesting what we might consider the significant events, milestones, maybe even the best and worst of the year. Many of us also do some evaluation and goal setting in the form of New Year's resolutions at this time of year. Now, what we list as significant, how we evaluate what's happened, and what we set as goals or desires for the future, all depend on what we really value, what we consider important. How does our perspective compare with God's perspective? As we look back over the past year, what we considered significant, important events, good, bad, how does that compare to what God's perspective would be? It depends, of course, on how our values and goals compare with God's. What is God's purpose in our lives? I want to look at just a few passages of Scripture here just to make sure we're on the same page. Romans chapter 8, very familiar verses, at least verse 28 is. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Well, what is this good that He's causing all things to work together for? What is this purpose for which we've been called? Most of us memorize verse 28 and we stop there. But we don't get the answer to that question unless we go on to verses 29 and 30. "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified." God's purpose is to conform us to the likeness of His Son. And that's the good for which He's working. On the surface, some of the things going on in our lives may not look so good to us. And we wonder, what in the world is God going to do with this to make it good? But that good is His purpose of conforming us to the likeness of His Son. Romans 12:2 is also familiar to us. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is." It's that transformation process that He's working in our lives, conforming us to the likeness of His Son. That's what He's intent on doing, changing us from our conformity to this world and all of its sinful effects on our lives, and transforming us to the likeness of Christ through His Word, the work of His Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect or behold or contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." God is at work in our lives to transform us into His likeness. And that brings glory to Him. That's clear in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 3, says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory." And His glory is to see His purpose accomplished in our lives, in the world, working out His purpose of reconciling all things to Himself and transforming us into the likeness of Christ. Based on God's stated purpose or goal for us, how would He then evaluate 2006? Those annual Christmas letters often make reference to health-related issues. And we consider it a good year if we haven't experienced significant illness or injury. Is that the greatest good? Just to go through the year not having any health issues? God may choose to bless us with good physical health. On the other hand, He may choose to bless us in a different way, by refining our spiritual character by means of some illness or injury. It's all a matter of perspective. What do we value more? Good physical health or spiritual health? Conformity to the likeness of Christ. We prefer an easy life or progress in Christ's likeness. Would we rather avoid physical hardship or allow the Lord to refine our character through those difficult circumstances? Those trials that we bemoan could be that God bemoans them now because they proved to be opportunities for growth that we wasted. What He wanted to do in our lives through that surgery, through that illness, wasn't accomplished. We weren't open to what He was wanting to do. How we view that depends on what we really value, how open we are to what God values, what His pleasure and purpose is in our lives. Another common subject in these Christmas letters is children or grandchildren. We update everyone on their age, their activities, their academic achievements, other such milestones. We may include pictures or descriptions showing how big they're getting. As I thought about it this week, though, I realized how rare it is to find references to their spiritual growth or milestones. What would God note in a review of this year in the life of your child or grandchild? Maybe those events that didn't make the chart on our evaluation of the year were more significant in His eyes because He was able to see some growth in their lives. He accomplished His purpose in that area. You listed their championship soccer season, but in God's eyes, the losing season on their softball team was actually more significant because they learned something in the process there. And they grew in likeness to Christ as a result of those experiences. He'd rate that higher on His list. The soccer championship came too easy. They didn't learn a lot through that. A number of the letters we received this year talked about home improvement projects. Would the Lord choose to highlight those, or would He more likely refer to the development or maybe destruction of relationships in your home, or how you and your family are using your home to serve His mission in your neighborhood or network of relationships? What was more significant in His mind, the fact that you painted all of the rooms and replaced the wallpaper and put a new roof on, or something that was going on within your family and the relationships there and what He was building up in those lives in the process? A review of the year may also include mention of changes in employment or major projects in the workplace. Did you stop to think, though, about how God was at work in your work? Whether in your life or through you in the lives of your work associates or customers, your boss, what would He mark as significant events, positive or negative, in the workplace? Is He seeing His purpose of transforming you into the likeness of Christ in that arena of your life? Or is that something totally separate from your spiritual life? Does work a whole different deal? As God looks back over your year, is the fact that you turned a profit with your business this year necessarily a positive thing? Maybe it is. Maybe that was blessing on your faithful stewardship of what He had given you to do this year. On the other hand, He may have chosen to work in different ways and brought adversity to accomplish His purpose in your life. I could continue on that path, but I trust that these comments and questions have stimulated our thinking about how we view our year. And since the mindset of December 31 is not only out with the old, but in with the new, let's turn our attention here to how we view the coming year. Just as many people look back with letters and articles that review and evaluate the year that's ending, many people look ahead to the new year, setting goals, often stated in the form of New Year's resolutions. It appears that by far the most common New Year's resolution is to lose weight or get in shape. Maybe that's because so many of us need that. What would God's perspective be on that goal? We're accountable before the Lord for our stewardship of our bodies. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service, your spiritual act of worship." We also read in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." The Apostle Paul sought to honor God with his body, as is evident in passages like Philippians 1:20, where he says, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body." In 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says, "I beat my body and make it my slave, so that I, after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." So it is important what we do with our bodies. On the other hand, Paul recognized that God places a higher value on our spiritual condition. He told the church in Rome, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." And he wrote in his first letter to Timothy, "Train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." So the Lord may endorse and encourage a resolution to lose some weight and get in shape, but I think he'd be even more pleased to see you also demonstrating a firm commitment to give attention to your spiritual health and fitness. Our goal of losing weight and getting in shape might have more to do, at the heart of it might be God working to get rid of the lust of the flesh that we seek to satisfy through all that food that we take in, and replace it with the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. I find it interesting in looking at lists of popular New Year's resolutions that one of the most common commitments is to spend more time with family. I think we would generally affirm that as a worthy and admirable goal. You know by now, though, that I can't just leave that alone, right? Hopefully you're catching on to my challenge that we seek God's perspective in every area. Without a doubt, God would affirm the need in our society to strengthen families. What I would question, however, is whether just spending more time together is what he would have in mind. For instance, will spending more time sitting in the same room together watching television contribute to the accomplishment of his purpose in our family relationships? In Ephesians 5, Paul wrote, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." Christ, in his love for the church, desires to make us holy and blameless, cleansing us through his word. I think it's fair, though, to this passage to say that it also indicates that the husband who loves his wife seeks to be a part of the sanctification process in her life. That his desire is to spend time with her, helping her to become holy and blameless. Spending time with her in the Word, that it would cleanse and change her. That we, as husbands and wives together, are encouraging each other, spurring each other on, stimulating each other in our walk with the Lord. Spending more time together pursuing God's purpose in our lives, not just spending time together. A few verses later, Scripture admonishes parents, fathers in particular, about their responsibility to their children, saying, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Would God be satisfied then with my resolution to spend more time with my family? It seems that His goal for me would be that I not only spend more time with them, but that more of that time would be dedicated to spiritual nurture. The Lord wants to use our family relationships to further His overall purpose in the life of each family member. Some of you are more spiritual, so the top of your list of resolutions is to read through the Bible this year. Sounds good. But again, I can't just leave it alone. The Lord would be pleased with that as long as it's not just that we're getting through the Bible in the year. His goal isn't that we get through the Bible in the year. His goal is that His Word is getting through us. He would be happier if all you get through is Genesis, if the truth of Genesis transforms your life. So, I'll affirm the goal to read through the Bible in a year because we need to be taking in God's Word. But don't be satisfied with that. Allow God's Word to transform you. Allow His Word to get through you this year. We could look together at other common resolutions like getting organized, getting out of debt, learning a new skill, finding a better job, volunteering to help others, and so forth. But you're seeing the pattern here. These goals may be good as far as they go, but God's perspective goes beyond the here and now. His purpose is to prepare us for eternity. The circumstances and activities of our present lives are means that He is using to accomplish His greater purpose of conforming us to the likeness of Christ. We'll benefit as we endeavor to align ourselves with God's greater purpose in our lives and the lives of those around us. With that in mind, I want to camp for just a few minutes yet on the passage that Kelsey read for us earlier. Go to Colossians chapter 3 and look at just a few things here that I think capture the essence of what I'm after this morning, what I think God's after. Colossians 3, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There's a contrast through this passage on things above and earthly things. What I've been talking about up to this point as our natural perspective and God's perspective on what's going on. It's the spiritual versus the natural, or the spirit versus the flesh. The earthly things aren't inherently bad, but they're not the goal, the focus of life. We want to set our hearts and minds on things above, on what God values, not on what this world values. It says, set your hearts on things above. Our hearts go to those things that we value, what we treasure. As it's stated in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God wants us to set our hearts, our desire, on things above, on those things that He values, that we would treasure what He treasures and value what He values. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. God wants us to set our hearts, our focus, on those things that are eternal, those things that are of value not only for this life, but for the life to come. Setting our hearts means seeking, earnestly striving for those things that are of true value, of great worth in God's eyes. We not only set our hearts, but we set our minds on things above. We would concentrate, we would focus on those things that are important to God. That our minds, our thoughtful, intentional choices would be focused on what He values, what He considers important. As we do that, we'll see Him in this transforming process. And the phrase that we're familiar with, out with the old, in with the new. Looking at this passage, we might say it, off with the old, on with the new, because He keeps telling us to put off these things and put on other things. We're to put to death, it says in verse 5, or to rid ourselves in verse 8, things that we've taken off in verse 9. So out or off with the old and on with the new. Verse 10 says to put on. Verse 12 says clothe yourselves. Verse 14 again says, put on. We want to be pursuing this process, this transformation process that God is working in our lives to get rid of those things that are a part of the sinful, fleshly, earthly nature and put on those things that come from Him, those things that are produced by the Holy Spirit. as we evaluate our lives and set our goals then based on God's values rather than what is valued in our worldly culture, and we'll see God's purpose accomplished. We want to use that as the standard for how we evaluate what's going on in our lives. Evaluate, right at the heart of that word is value. What do we really value? Do we value things of here and now, things that this world values, or do we truly value what God values, that we can share His evaluation? So let's ask the Lord to help us to see that all of our days are crafted into His perfect plan. Let's ask Him to teach us to live all of our life through His eyes and submit ourselves to the molding and shaping work of the Master Potter, God working in our lives to mold and shape us into the likeness of Christ. May that be our true desire, our goal throughout this coming year. Let's express that desire as we sing together. We'll stand again to sing.